This will be a call to order I'd like to welcome you to the February 26th meeting of the Savannah Historic Preservation Commission. The purpose of the Preservation Commission is to provide for the protection, enhancement, perpetuation, and use of areas having a special historical, cultural, or aesthetic interest or value in order to promote the health, prosperity, and welfare, general welfare of the people. The preservation of this heritage is of basic and vital importance for the development and maintenance of the community's vacation travel industry, its tourism, its culture, and for the protection of property values because of their association with history. Please turn off all cell phones. And let's order our business. Let's start with, were there any signposting issues that any of the members saw this month? Hearing no issues with that, we will next move on to the approval of the previous meeting minutes. Are there any changes or corrections to the minutes or the previous meeting? If none, may I have a motion to approve the minutes?
This is Pam Miller. I make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Kathy Levine, I second.
Can we please have a voice vote for that?
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Nfrika, approve. Okay. Next, let's go on to the consent agenda. Actually, let's go on to the continued agenda. There are items that have been requested by the petitioner to be continued to the next meeting or a date certain or that staff has determined incomplete at this time. Do we have anything on the continued agenda? Okay. We have, three items on the continued agenda. I would like a motion to approve this.
Pat Richardson, I offer a motion that the items on the continued agenda be approved.
Kathy Levine, I second.
I'd like to call for a vote, starting with Kathy.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren Bagley, he's approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Motion carries. Okay, next thing. Request for extensions. Are there any? Let's see if we get any extensions. Adoption of the agenda. Request to be removed. Regular agenda. I don't believe I see any requests for extensions.
There's one.
We do have one.
Number three. Yes, we do have one. Ask for a motion to approve the request for extension.
Kathy Levine, I make a motion to approve the request for extension of Lynch Associates Architects, 1825 Montgomery Street, 6-month COA extension.
Pat Richardson. Pat Richardson, second.
A second?
I do.
Okay. Let's start with Derek.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Jeff Nfrika, approve. Motion carries. Now on to the regular agenda.
I think we need to, Jeff, sorry, the consent agenda.
I thought we already did that.
No.
Okay, let's do the consent agenda. These agenda items have been found by the preservation officer to be in accordance with the preservation standards, visual compatibility factors, and design standards, and of apparent consensus with no known objections from the public. Should any board member wish to remove an item from the consent agenda, he or she may move that is to be placed in the subsequent order of the regular agenda. Should any properties be removed from the consent agenda today? Are there any board members that have concerns? Mm-hmm. Okay. If hearing none, I would like to ask for a motion to approve.
Kathy Labina, I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Pam Miller, I second the motion.
Okay, let's take a vote. We'll start with Pam.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kathy Labina, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Taryn Bagley Heath, approve.
Jeff Dentrick, approve. Motion carries. We did request for extensions, and I guess we're on now to the regular agenda. The first item on the regular agenda will applications that are amended or continued from 1 month to the next appear first on the regular agenda. These will be followed by new applications in sequential order. You now hear the petition of the we're going to hear the petition of Scally Design and Construction, Braden Scally, petition number 25000223, 538 East Bolton Street. And we'll ask for his or her presentation.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant is requesting an after-the-fact amendment approval for the addition and accessory dwelling unit located at 538 East Bolton Street. The original project was for rehabilitation of the existing historic house and the construction of an addition and an ADU. The current after-the-fact amendment work seeks approval for one awning that connects the addition and the ADU, one small awning over the second-story door of the ADU, and for the omission of windows on the east and west elevations of both. So just a little project history. It was first presented in February of 2023. At that point, it was continued, but then approved at the following month, March 22nd, 2023, approved without conditions. An amendment was filed on April 27th, 2023 to revise the design of the rear ADU stair. Originally wood stairs were proposed, but there was a request to change this to coated steel railings with a cable railing. And then where we are today, when the inspection was taking place, it was noticed that a few changes have been made that were not on the stamp drawings, hence the after-the-fact request. Staff met on site with the applicant as well as representatives from the city to view these changes in person. So just to kind of give a photo overview of the front and back of the building, can't really see because of there's a fence and the way that it's situated, you're not seeing the addition or the ADU from the street perspective, only the lane perspective. So just to kind of run through the changes, these are on the east and west elevations. So in the case where previously approved windows were omitted from the design on the east and west elevations of the addition and the ADU, none of the facades are visible from the street, only from the lane. The ground level is obscured by the fence and is not visible from the lane either, even though the standard's only referring to streets, not all public rights of way. Further, during the site visit, being inside the addition and the ADU, there are still windows in the rooms on these elevations on the north and south sides. For the awnings, staff found they met the standards with regard to the standard that says awnings shall not connect to facades. Staff found the intent of the standard refers to commercial buildings rather than a private residential property. The extension of the original awning creates a covered walkway or breezeway that may function more as a courtyard area. Also, the section below on ADUs addresses how this type of configuration is allowable for ADUs. So with that, when a unit, if it can be attached, that can be either with a common wall or connected by a covered walkway. So the rear addition of the house is connected to the ADU via a covered walkway. This deviated from the stamp drawings where there originally was just a smaller wood awning over the addition side. And those, that's the extent of the changes, just to kind of show the full elevations, to have the historic house in perspective too. I'll just quickly show those of what exists. And therefore, staff recommends to approve the after-the-fact amendment for the addition and accessory dwelling unit located at 538 East Bolton Street from the previously approved design as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. Thank you, and I'll be glad to take any questions.
Do any members of the board have questions for staff?
I just have one, please. Just to clarify, the after-the-fact amendment is for the awning and the windows, correct?
Right.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Hearing none, we will now hear from the petitioner. Each petitioner will have 10 minutes to speak. Prior to your presentation, please state your name for the record.
Braden Skelly with Skelly Design Construct. I was the architectural designer and the contractor on this job. Thanks to staff for working through with these minor kind of variations that we've made. And obviously thanks to the board for your review of this petition. The changes were made based on the fact that we're assuming that they were going to be a staff level approval. Their awnings, typically that's how it's always been in the past, and so we kind of took that and ran with it. And I mean, from a construction standpoint, it's all like non-combustible. The awning that connects both the carriage house and the addition is completely fire separated. So, you know, there's no, from a building code standpoint, there's no issues with that. The windows being removed were a cost savings exercise. And, you know, we obviously want to uphold a really high standard of building. So that's where we kind of chose to save some money on that. I'm happy to take any other questions from the board.
Do any members of the board have questions for the petitioner?
Kathy LeBron, I've got actually a question for the staff and the petitioner. Since this is an addition to a historic property, the offset still remains, right? The T essentially still remains. The connector.
Yeah.
Just a little connector. Being that that it is an addition, we don't require the 30% on just the addition part?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily that, but it's also just not visible from a street, and it's only streets and not lanes, because the ordinance, when it doesn't say public right-of-way and it says street-facing, yeah, it's not including the lanes, so
okay,
that's why.
All right, that's
but it may also still meet it because it is a pretty small addition, but yeah, we just saw that it didn't apply.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Any further questions from any board members? With there being no more questions, we will now hear from the members of the public. If any member of the public would like to speak, please utilize the raise your hand feature. Each member of the public who would like to speak will have 2 minutes to make their comments. Prior to your comments, please state your name for the record. Staff, do we have any hands raised from the public?
No, sir.
Okay.
No one online.
All right. Well, let's see here. With there being no members of the public that wish to speak, with the petitioner, well, there's nothing to respond to. We will now enter board discussions. I will ask each board member individually to speak. You will have 5 minutes. Start with Pam.
This is Pam Miller. No further comment.
Kathy LeBina, no comment.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Darren Bagley, he's no comment.
Okay. Well, at this point, I would like to call for someone to file a motion.
This is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of Skelly Design and Construction, Braden Skelly, 250002223, Dash C Way, 538 East Bolton Street. As submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Pat Richardson, second.
Let's take a voice vote. Starting with Pam. Pam.
Pam Miller, approve.
Capulet Vine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren Bagley Heath, approve.
Jeff Ventrico, approve. The motion carries. Next, we will go on to item 23, and I will turn the proceedings over to Kathy for this one.
Jonathan.
Do we still have a quorum?
Yes, we didn't lose a quorum. He just had to step down to recuse himself. We still have a quorum.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. The application we'll be addressing is 1210. Drayton Street, number 25-000490-COA. Emmy Stack Engineering, Chris Harold with four fence and a wall.
Good afternoon. This is Kelly. As always already stated, applicants request an approval to construct a fence at the property located at 1210 Drayton Street. This property was in front of the board previously for the demolition of an existing gas station. The gas station was approved for demolition and has since come down, and the property is currently a vacant lot. So the applicant is not proposing the fence, but also a parking lot as well as some landscaping. The landscaping and parking will not be reviewed by the board at this time. So with regards to the fence, the lower portion of the fence, or the wall, is constructed of stucco over CMU block, with the top portion being an iron fence. Staff does believe that the materials themselves meet the standards. The primary concern is with the height of the fence. Per the standards, a fence in the front yard is allowed to be 36 inches max, whereas fences in the side and rear yards are allowed to be up to 8 feet. Given that the property has no building on the lot and is a corner property, staff finds that the height of the fence needs to be reduced from the current height of 6'2" 2 inches to be no taller than 36 inches on the Dray and Henry Street sides. In this case, we consider Dray and Henry kind of the front of the property. The portions of the fence facing the abutting property and the lane, staff finds to meet the standards in terms of height. So with that, staff recommends approval of the fence and the wall around the property at 1210 Drayton Street with the following condition, because the work is otherwise visually compatible, meets standards, and that is to reduce the height of the fence facing Drayton and Henry Streets. With that, does the board have any questions?
Are there any questions for staff from the board? Kathy Levine, I have one. Were the HPC conditions met for demolition?
Yes.
They did all that? They documented the building. That's what I was wondering. Okay, great. Thank you. Are there any other questions for staff? Hearing none, will the petitioner please come forward and state your name for the record?
Good afternoon, staff. This is Chris Harold, MESAC Engineering. Just wanted to give you a little rundown. We do intend to obviously lower the wall height along Henry Street. There are no fence frontages on Drayton Street, as we have ingress and egress, and we're happy to keep the fence up or down depending on the client's wishes along the neighboring property, the home, on the east side, and on the north side along Duffy. We will at the very least have to reduce the wall height for sight lines coming off of Duffy Lane, but we're happy to either lower the wall height the whole distance or just move this fence back. But we figured it was in concurrence with some of the other fences in the area. That's all we were looking to do there, is kind of come up with the same design. But, as they said, we fully intend to comply and lower the wall along Henry.
Do any members of the board have a question for the petitioner? Kathy Levina, I've got a question. I'm confused. Looking at your drawings, I added up the numbers, and the posts seem to appear different than the height of the posts appear different than the height of the fence. And so I was a little confused at that. I just added the math, and it was one was 7 foot five and one was 6 foot two. What's the height of that fence?
Do you mind if I move this so I can see what you're referencing?
The detail. If you look at the detail.
I can't see it very well on the screen.
Your submittal. It's your submittal.
Yes, ma'am. I believe maybe the cap on top is maybe causing the issue. There's a 5-inch cap. I'm not sure. Again, I'm trying to see this. I can't really. It's very small.
So from the sidewalk to the cap, what's the height are you proposing?
At the column or the top of the fence?
The column. There we go.
Sorry.
Keep going.
Trying to get there for you. I'm sure this is all in.
There it is. There it is. Right there.
Okay.
Nope. Go down. Right here. Section AA, section BB. So I was just adding up these numbers.
Okay.
That's all I was doing.
5 foot six.
There you go.
Gotcha. Yeah, it looks like.
Plus six, plus one, plus four, plus five, 1.5. Those are the questions I have.
Okay.
What's the height of the fence to the top of the cap?
To the top of the cap is going to be 6 foot 2 3/8 inches.
Okay.
But again, that's not for the section along Henry Street. And as I mentioned, there is no section along Drayton for ingress and egress.
Correct. Right. That's the proposed three.
Right.
I've got it. Okay. So the entryway posts aren't higher then. They're all the maximum height is 6 foot 2 3/8.
That's correct.
Okay. That's my question.
Apologies.
Do any other board questions? Board have questions for the petitioner? Okay. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment? Yes. I have two cards. Okay. I see it. All right. Let's start, please, with Deborah Lewis. I apologize. I can't read that.
My name is Deborah Lewis. I reside in the 100 block of East Duffy, and I've looked over these drawings, and I think it's a very bad area for the entrance and exit to be right there at Henry and Drayton. I mean, very bad. They've had over 200, as of last year, they had over 200 accidents right there. There is no ingress or egress on that street, on Drayton Street. There's also a shuttle that goes through there every 10 minutes. I don't know about anything about the GOT. Have they been contacted about this entrance or exit? I've talked, I went to the other city council meeting, and they said, Mr. McCorkle said, that they were going to the parking spaces right next to the residents. And now they're taking up the whole three lots to do the parking lot. And let's see. And I don't think this really does anything to protect the historic district with a parking lot over there. Who's going to maintain it? Who's going to clean it up? I just think it's a really bad idea, but especially the traffic and the shuttle that's right there at the Duffy Lane. That it's going to be, the two entrances are like I think the area is from between, I think, 150 or 175 from Henry Street and Drayton. You just can't, scoot in there. You've got people flying down trying to beat beat the light down Drayton. If you've gone down there, everybody knows. I get almost rear-ended going into my back lane to park, and I'm putting on my turn signal. And they're still, flying by me. And, the wall is just, I just don't think that's going to work. And I just don't think the drainage is going to help Drayton Street, because there's already an issue at Drayton and Duffy. It's like a slew of water. And the sewer bubbles still.
I believe it's to staff. It leaves here and goes to traffic engineering, correct? And so traffic engineering will further address these concerns?
Yes, and I believe this has already been, or it's in the works with development services. So everything she's concerned about would not be in our purview, but I believe he's working with development services.
Right. I believe, right. It's not in our purview, but who can she speak with? Traffic engineering or who?
Development service or traffic. Sorry, I mumble a lot. Traffic engineering or development services within our department.
Ms. Lewis, did you hear that?
Oh, yeah.
It's not in our purview, but we appreciate your comments.
Okay.
And so, yeah, you'll just have to contact
them. Will there be any drainage, you know, in this parking lot?
That's, again, traffic engineering, correct?
And where will it go?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
And second speaker, Jim Hutzrucker, both opposed. Do I have to say that?
Hello, my name is Jim Hunchrucker. I, as a resident of the Kroger parking lot, living in the Kroger parking lot area, I would like to proclaim this going to be a nuisance instead of an improvement to the quality of life in the neighborhood. I would question also the screening from the pedestrian point of view. Is that in compliance with the requirements? And again, I would reiterate the hours of service in the area and the security. And the combination of the lots is undermining the historic integrity of the Victorian district. And I can reiterate about, I went out and did a survey during the last heavy storm, and the manhole cover there at Drayton and Duffy blows off. I mean, it just blows off and people hit it. It's really dramatic. So there is a sewage issue, stormwater drainage issue. So I hope that there is a catch basin that's put in this parking lot to deal with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public online? No?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Would the petitioner like to respond to public comment?
Yes. just wanted to try to assuage some of your concerns. The entrances on Drayton, there were previously two driveways already on Drayton Street, as well as two on Henry. This has already been approved because of the route traffic flow. This has already been approved by traffic. We are still working on getting a final stamp set, but traffic does not have any more comments. Those have been addressed at this point, and that was actually recommended by city traffic engineers. There's no GDOT issues with this parking lot. As for cleanup, that's all going to be done privately by the owner. And I know that he has recognized the need for a parking lot in this area. He intends to keep up with it. He's also on this board. So I know that he's going to be heavily scrutinized, and I know that he intends to make friends with everyone as much as possible. As for drainage, I know that there have been some concerns about drainage going into Duffy Lane. The lot is actually built up above Duffy Lane. Due to the wall and having a drainage swale in the back of the lot, we're actually going to be pushing water west into Drayton Street, and it should travel northbound. There's an inlet on the next block over, so we're actually going to keep more water out of Duffy. And as for screening, yes, we do follow all of the rules and restrictions. That's what we're here for, to make sure we just lower our wall along Henry Street, as well as provide sightline access out of Duffy Lane.
Thank you. Any other questions for the petitioner? From the board? No. Hearing none. We will now enter into commission discussion. At this time, all public debate is closed and no further comments will be accepted. I will call on each board member two times to speak for 2 minutes or less. Pam.
This is Pam Miller. I just want to make a general comment. First of all, I want to thank people, members of the public, for coming out and sharing your concerns. It's frustrating sometimes to sit up here knowing that we don't have the purview over that. All we can do is approve what's in front of us and what we're allowed to. But I do want to thank you both for coming out. I drive that street every single day, so I get it. But, you know, please continue on, do whatever you need to do, and we'll just, but I thank you again. I just wanted to make that comment.
Kathleen Barnett, just to further that, we're not allowed to comment on land use, landscaping, parking availability, traffic, noise, impact on property values, and the interior arrangements of structure. But that's not in our purview. So just keep that in mind. I do agree with staff. I think that the 3-foot maximum needs to be maintained along Drayton, even though there aren't any plans right there, and Henry. Pat
Richardson, I agree with staff.
Darren Begley, I agree with staff recommendations.
And Pam Miller, I agree with staff recommendations.
Kathleen Brown, one quick question. The petitioner talked about lowering the height between the residents. Is that something you guys talked about?
I believe that may have been on the alley, so that's a sightline issue, and that's more of a city initiative, but the city issue. So we would review it, but that has been discussed with us, I believe, maybe development services as well.
And so what are they recommending, lowering the height to?
I'll need to confirm with Edward. I haven't had an opportunity to double check, but I would confirm with Edward.
Would that height then continue along the, between the two owner, the two private owners?
That may be a applicant decision.
On Henry Street?
Yeah, usually with sight lines, it only has to go so far.
Correct. But so. I'm just thinking of a fence that is 3 foot here, 4 foot here, and 6 foot here, and how ridiculous that would be based on visual compatibility.
But, and if you
so
want to
that's
that,
my question.
And if you want to make that part, condition you to do that as well. So.
Okay.
I just wanted to clarify. Edward and I spoke yesterday. We're trying to clear this issue up now.
I don't know who you're speaking
about. Edward Morrow with MPC speaking directly about sightline issues. He recommended either lowering the wall, which they will approve if we lower the wall at Duffy Lane and Drayton Street, or pull the wall back so that the fence does not block sightlines. Now, that would be up to the client if he wants to continue the fence along the entire Duffy Lane. If the neighbors would like to keep that screening up, I think that's completely viable as an option. The wall's not going to change height. We're going to maintain the same elevation. It's going to be uniformly, I believe it's 2'9" across Henry Street. We have to be below 36 inches. I believe our wall is somewhere
Correct.
In the 2'9" range. So, it's going to be a uniform elevation from existing surface. In both cases, on the front and back of the property, the surface does not change very drastically. We're not talking about having the wall 5 feet versus 3 feet. It's all going to be a uniform sight line below 3 feet off the ground.
So the 3 foot is what the traffic engineering requested?
No, that's an HPC regulation, I believe.
Yes,
36
right.
inch max.
Okay, I'm sorry. For the sight line, what's
yes.
the height that the sight line is?
Edward Morrow let me know that 36 inches would be acceptable for sight lines, yes.
So you're planning on doing 36 inches on Henry, Drayton, Duffy Lane, and?
So for right now, we're going to be doing the 36 or below 36 inch wall all the way along Henry as required. At the intersection of Duffy and Drayton, we have to have a certain amount of sight line. I believe he said it was 40 feet off of Drayton Street. So we can lower the wall to below 36 inches for that 40 feet and continue the fence, or we can just not do the fence the whole way. Either one. Again, if the neighbors prefer screening, that's an option.
I guess I just don't understand the heights.
No.
I'm confused.
What's the reason for the fence?
Yeah, it's a little confusing. Let's go back to maybe if we look at the site plan, that'll help.
Have you spoken to the neighbors? Do they want a 6-foot fence? Yes.
Okay.
But are you the adjacent neighbor?
Yes.
Okay. I was just making sure.
It's owned by Kaylin.
Comments are typically closed at this point.
Oh, okay. I apologize.
There's a two-story
Airbnb right next door, and the lights wouldn't, you know, get them horrible young.
So my understanding is along Henry, you're going to have a 36-inch high.
Yeah, maximum. Correct.
You're not going to have any fencing along Drayton.
That's correct.
And then along Duffy Lane.
Yes.
You were saying that for 40 feet.
Yes.
It can't be higher than 36 inches.
That's correct.
And so, Kathy, they would run it the same wall to match the one on Henry for 40 feet. I don't know how long. I don't know the depth of the lot. But and then you would either continue it all the way to the end or you would only do it for 40 feet.
Correct. Yes. At minimum, we need 40 foot of sight line. So we would pull the wall height back. And since the neighbors are requesting some screening, I think that's a viable option.
So at the end of 40 feet, you'll jump up to 6'2" all around the corner to back to Henry Street.
Yes, we would just have the wall section for the first 40 feet, and then we would raise for the fence and column section, I believe, would be an option there. So we would be looking at doing just the wall portion for that first 40 feet, and then we would pretend this fence is in here. We would jump up and then have wall and fence for screening as they requested. And that would be, again, just at this intersection here where they're coming out of Duffy Lane and they're looking left on Drayton for traffic. We have to keep this line of sight open. That's what's going on there.
So essentially, this is Darren Bagley. So essentially, you're looking at the first three car parking spaces being at the 3 foot level, and then it jumps up after the third parking space because that's about 40 feet, right?
Pretty roughly, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere. Roughly where that tree is going to go, we're going to have a lower wall section because we have to maintain sight line down Drayton Street.
And then is there going to be fence all the way along the Henry Street side?
Just wall. No, Henry Street, we are not allowed to go above 36 inches along Henry Street.
So we 3 feet everywhere apart from that section.
Okay. Yeah, and I believe the intention was to have screening to the neighbors on the east here, as well as along the back on Duffy where possible.
Okay.
And then the post would be lower to comply.
Yes. Sorry for the confusion.
Are there any other questions for the petitioner? Do you have any need for further board discussion? Is there a motion?
This is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition. Sorry, flip my page over. ME SAC Engineering, Chris Harold, 250004-90COA, 1210 Drayton Street, with the following conditions. Staff recommendation approved the fence around the property at 1210 Drayton with the following condition. Reduce the height of the fence facing Drayton and East Henry Streets to meet the standards or apply for a special exemption for the height of the fence. Drayton and East Henry Streets only. Because the petition is otherwise in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance.
Pat Richardson, second.
Voice vote, Darren.
Darren Bagley, he'd approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Pam Miller, approve.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Okay, I would like to resume with the next item on our petition, which is petition of Red Oak Valuation Services, LLC, petition number 24-006790 for 1025 West 38th Street, rehabilitation and alterations. Let's start with a staff report.
So this is Kelly again. As Chair mentioned, the applicant is requesting approval for rehabilitation work. So this project kind of has a long history. It was previously heard back in December of 2021 by this board. Prior to the meeting, work had taken place on the building without a COA. Work included the removal of siding, windows, and the front porch. At that meeting, the COA was approved, but it expired on December 20th, 2023. No work appears to have taken place between the time of the approval and when the COA expired. The applicant is now coming back to request the work to take place. This project was originally scheduled to be heard last month, but was continued due to the snowstorm. And also, as a quick note, staff could not find any historic photos on this home, so we're heavily reliant on Google Images and Google Maps when writing the staff report. So the work includes the reconstruction of the front porch. This is going to be partially based on what you see on Google, mainly with regards to the roof form. Other elements, such as selected porch columns and the handrails, will not match the previous design, but will be based on what is seen in the immediate area and what was likely seen historically. In this case, staff finds the work to be appropriate. As you may have noticed in the Google images, the porch was altered at some point prior to 2007, so this work is clearly not compatible to the neighborhood. So what they are proposing is more visually compatible. Other work includes installing wood siding and windows and the construction of a rear deck. It's worth noting that the applicant did mention that some interior framing does need to be replaced. While we typically don't review interior work, we were concerned because at some point it is a demolition. Per the contractor, less than 5% of the framing needs to be replaced. So staff is asking that if any additional framing needs to be replaced, that we're notified prior to taking place. So with that, staff recommends approval of the request to rehabilitate the property located at 1025 West 38th Street with the following conditions. One is to inform staff if any additional framing need to be replaced, and two is provide information on whether the rear deck would paint it or stay in because it's constructive wood. So with that, does the board have any questions or concerns?
Hey, board members, are there any questions or concerns for staff?
Okay. Kathy Levine, I have one. Are the windows that they are proposing the same width and height of the original openings?
As far as we're aware, again, we're heavily dependent on Google images, so I can't go out there and measure exactly. Uh-huh. But they do appear to be about the same, if not the same.
I'm just looking even at that upper porch window. I mean, that small little, I don't know what you call it, board doesn't look.
The provided plans, it is showing going back that size.
And then the two square windows in the back. Would you consider those accent windows? The two square windows?
In this case, I believe so. But this again, this is also a historic building. So the twice that being taller than it's wide applies mainly to new construction, and we did consider this a rehab. So
I'm sorry, say that one more time.
Sorry. A lot of mumbling today. So the taller than it is wide does apply to new construction, and we can consider this a rehab. So technically that would not apply. But in a case like this, we consider this more of an accent window, so yes.
If that's so, double hung windows on accent windows, that's simply not allowed, correct?
I would need to confirm with into the guidelines, but.
Any other questions from our board members? Okay, with there being no more questions, we will now hear from the petitioner. Each petitioner will have 10 minutes to speak. Prior to your presentation, please state your name for the record. Do we have a petitioner? There we go.
Hello, my name is Callie Gilbert. I'm the property owner. And I'm so sorry, Mr. Jeff, I am very sick and I can hardly understand what you were saying. So please bear with me. I feel like I'm yelling.
You're good.
So I think everything's pretty straightforward. I think the only thing I need to possibly get with Ms. Kelly on is these architectural plans. I inherited them when I bought the property. I am not the original property owner at that time to bring this COA, the original COA approval. So what I am proposing, I'd like to propose an amendment where this is showing a metal roof. I would like to do a shingle roof based on review of Sages and Google images. Shingle roofs are not uncommon. In fact, they're the majority for the area in which this property is located. And also it is in, I included that in my scope of work, which was included in my packet submittal.
Okay. Staff, are y'all okay with that?
Yeah, we're fine with a shingle roof instead of metal roof. That's a very common change.
Okay, excellent. Board members, are there any questions of staff or the petitioner?
I have a question of the petitioner. Are those windows, are you maintaining the original width and height of the original window opening?
Yes, it's, I mean, I don't know what picture it's up right now, but it's a shell. The whole, everything can be reframed. Those windows can be framed to what's there on the sketch.
So you're going to match what's on the render, the drawing?
Yes.
So that front window is, I don't know what size it is because
it's not
shown over the board, but it will be.
Yes, everything will be reframed.
Brought back to the original size or as seen in the render.
Any other questions of staff from the board? Hearing none, we will hear from members of the public. If any members of the public would like to speak, please utilize the raise your hand feature. Each member of the public who would like to speak will have 2 minutes to make their comment. Prior to your comments, please state your name for the record. Staff, do we have any hands raised?
No, sir.
Okay. Since we have no input from the public, I guess we'll not go into board discussion. I will ask each board member individually to speak regarding your opinions. We have 5 minutes per board. Let's start with Darren.
I have no questions.
Okay. Pat?
I have no question at this time.
Kathy?
Captain Levine, I would like to see that the accent square windows are fixed versus double hung. I think that would make a tremendous difference. And that the, I guess that the porch, the second floor window on the north elevation is maintained. And it's not an accent window, but it's actually a double hung window in the configuration as shown in the drawings.
Pam Miller, no comment.
Okay. At this point, I would ask the board for a motion.
Pat Richardson, I offer a motion that we approve the petition of 1025 West 38th Street, COA 24-006790, Red Oak Valuation Services Incorporated, as requested by staff because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and designs as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance? I got the wrong
one. The two.
Oh, okay.
Would be the fixed.
Okay.
Versus the double hung.
All right. One, inform staff if any additional framing needs to be replaced. Two, provide information on whether the rear deck will be painted or stained. And three, is your windows?
Fixed accent windows versus double hung.
Because otherwise the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and design standards as set forth in the City of Savannah zoning ordinance. Okay.
I second that.
We have a first and a second. Call for a vote. Let's start with Pam.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kathy LeBron, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Nondrica, approve. Motion carries. We will now go on to the next agenda item, the petition of Juan Hernandez Sanchez, 25-000-505. This is for 1011 West 40th Street.
So this is Kelly again. So the applicant is requesting after-the-fact approval to construct a rear addition as well as a side addition and to rehabilitate the structure at 1011 West 40th Street. So again, this is an after-the-fact case. Previous work includes the removal of siding, roofing material, and a previous carport, alterations to the front porch, removal of a previous non-historic addition, and the construction of a new addition. Like with 1025 West 38th Street, staff is relying on Google images and Google maps to determine what the building previously looked like. Staff finds elements such as new siding, windows, and roofing materials to meet the standards. One of the bigger concerns is with that rear addition. The applicant did provide multiple options in this case. Staff finds option 5 is appropriate, as seen in this floor plan right here. This addition is pulled off the historic corners of the home. This will allow the addition to be differentiated from the existing building and will allow the addition to be supported in height and mass for the primary structure. If the board approves this option, the applicant will need to confirm that the roof of the addition is pulled off of the roof of the historic house and will also need to provide elevation drawings for this option. Staff can also recommend approval for option 1, as seen in elevation right here. While it is not inset from the historic building, the home has lost much of its historic integrity, given that the historic materials and features have been removed. Also, if there's any historic fabric remaining on the interior of the home, removal of the existing addition can cause damage to those materials. If the commission finds this option to be appropriate, the applicant will need to apply for a special exception from the standard that reads, additions shall be subordinate in size, in mass and height to the resource. Staff also had concerns with the carport that was seen on all the options. Staff finds this not to be visually compatible. Staff was able to locate multiple buildings with similar configurations in the immediate area, but all the examples we found were on non-contributing buildings. Per the standards, visual compatibility is based on contributing structures, and staff could not find any in the immediate area. It's worth noting that the home did have a carport on it historically, but previously that was demolished. Staff could support the reconstruction of something similar to what was there, but not an enlarged carport as you see on the plans. Also, the commission deems a carport to be appropriate, and to meet the standards, the carport will need to meet the side setbacks, which is 3 feet in this case. There are multiple other things that need to be addressed. One is the dormer design on the front facade. Staff cannot find any similar examples in the area, and we deem it not to be visually compatible. We need the opening transparency to be confirmed. There was one option that did provide it in the floor plans. This one does quasi-provide in elevations. We just need those numbers confirmed in all the proposed plans to reflect the transparency, and also the proposed chain link fence that you see right here needs to be removed, and it needs to meet the standards for fences. There are a couple other minor details that need to be addressed as well, to include whether or not the fence is painted or stained and details like that. So with that, staff recommends a continuance of the after-the-fact approval to construct a rear addition and side addition and to rehabilitate the structure at West 40th Street to give applicants time to address the conditions on the screen. This includes applying for a special exception for option 1 if the board deems that to be appropriate option. as well as to pull in the carport side if, again, if the board finds that appropriate. So with that, it's a lot to this case. So do y'all have any questions?
Do any members of the board have any questions for the staff?
I would just add quickly that, thank you, Kelly, for your report. So we went out to the site. These are the photos. As we all, I sound like a broken record. We visit all the sites. We were a bit surprised that, as you can see in the pictures, it appears, we didn't obviously trespass on the property, that the house, the entire building has been rebuilt. So, just wanted to make you all aware that that was first time we were aware, that if you zoom in here, in terms of, as Kelly noted, what remains appears to not, so we don't have a lot of, the applicant is here and I know we'll explain what happened. But we were a bit surprised when we actually went out to the site and saw that there seemed to be a new building that had been constructed almost. So I just wanted to give a little bit of background.
Jonathan, based on staff's recommendations, would it be appropriate this time to consider continuing this?
Yes, we are recommending a continuance. There are a lot of questions here. And I know our colleagues from the city are here, and I think we probably need to have a joint meeting to discuss. We're a little surprised that all this work had taken place without anybody actually noticing it or flagging it. But again, the applicant is here. I'm sure he can provide a little more context for you if you'd like to hear from him.
Sure. Let's hear from the applicant.
Hello. My name is Juan Hernandez. I'd like to thank the staff for all the help and guidance they've had. To be quite frank, I had no clue what I was doing, just started working on stuff. Then it came across that, oh no, I have to do this. So that's why when I filed it, I filed it after report the fact. So raise any questions, I'll try to do my best.
Would you be willing to consider a continuance of this while you're able to work through with staff to get this?
Yes, more than happy to. I have filed a special exemption form application earlier this morning for the, I believe it's to get option one, because exemption on section 3 or chapter 3, 7.10.10AXII, point one, where it says additional shall be subordinate to the resource and height and mass, just because the way I constructed it was parallel to the original.
Okay. Board members, are there any questions for the petitioner? Hearing no comments from board members, I would like to go ahead and close the public. Are there any public that want to speak regarding this?
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC just wanted to be on record in support of staff's recommended continuance on this item. The packet appears to be incomplete, and the 9 considerations will highly impact the design.
Thank you. At this point, I'd like to go ahead and close this to public comments. Board members, let's have a board discussion. Are there any comments?
Mike, this is Darren Bagley. I think that at this point, the discussion kind of moot until we've got cross the hurdle, so therefore it really should just be a motion to continue.
Somebody like to second that?
Kathy Ledbine, I'd like to say that I'm against the special exemption for option one. The addition, I strongly believe additions need to be subordinate in mass and height to the resource. Fortunately, the historic resource is gone. I don't understand how that happened. I don't understand. I mean, all new building, all new roof structure, all new, I assume, everything on the inside. How did that happen? I mean, how did that happen? It is bliss. Well, anyway, so I am against the special exemption for the setback of no setback for the addition. the carport. I am against the carport because it is or once was a historic building. The redesign of the gable, the front porch, definitely. I agree with all of staff recommendations, except for applying for the special exemption because I'm against the special exemption.
This is Pam Miller. I assume that if this came up for a vote today, there'd be a lot of things that we would deny. But I appreciate that you're willing to work with the staff to see if you can fix some of those things. I too would be probably not for the special exemption for the height. However, I just have a question. How long do you think staff or petitioner that this might take? Are we looking, because when we make a, if we make a motion, we've got to have a date certain for when this, are we talking next month, 2 months, leave it uncertain?
It's going to be heavily dependent on how quickly the applicant can get us the plans, but you can definitely ask him if you'd like. And you can have up to 90 days as well if you don't want to give us to next month or anything.
Yeah, I just know that one of the things when we continue, we're supposed to try to give a date certain. 2 months?
90 days?
There's a lot
to do.
Yeah.
Pat, any comments?
I too am a little bit perplexed as to how he could get this far with redoing the entire building and nobody noticed anything. Did he not get anything from the city as far as like a building permit and stuff like that? Did you talk to anybody from the city and they told you it was okay for these changes to build?
Well, like I said, I have legitimately bought it, started working on it, then realized, oh, I need to do this stuff. So now I'm trying to correct my mistakes.
Okay. How long have you been working on this?
I want to say, I can't remember exactly when I purchased it, but.
September, October?
Something like that, I believe so.
September?
Yeah.
So, I mean, code compliance has been driving by and you've been building and there's no building permit or nothing out there. Thank you.
Is there, can we, I would like to make a motion to deny the special exemption. So when he takes it to the board, we can say that the HPC is against the special exemption.
But technically, he hasn't applied for that yet.
He said he did this morning.
For next month. So that's not part of this current application. I'm not sure if we can technically deny an application. Yeah, in theory, if you want to next month, it can be heard next month.
There are a lot of moving parts for this, so I think your staff is recommending that you continue this. Let us work with our partners at the city, figure out what's going on with the site, and it will be back to you. I mean, the applicant will be back to you probably in a few months.
Jonathan, so if that's the case, would we be helping the applicant if we told them to maybe hold off on the special exception until all these other matters are sorted?
Yes. I mean, the applicant said he filed for it today, which is the deadline for your next month's meeting. It's exactly 1 month away. But we can have that all continued.
Okay. Very good.
Until we figure out what exactly is going on here.
Thank you. At this point, can any other questions from the board? Comments? Can I get a motion?
Sure. You got it? I move that the Historic Preservation Commission continue the petition of Juan Hernandez Sanchez alterations and additions to 1011 West 40th Street 25-000505-COA until May 28th because it's an incomplete application and there are many questions to be answered.
Pat Richardson, second.
I'd like to call for a vote. Pam?
Pam Miller, approve.
Kathy LeBrina, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Nutriga, approve. Motion carries. Next agenda item is a petition of VP2 Design LLC, petition number 24-006282 for 222 West 38th Street. You have hear from the staff, please.
This is Kelly yet again. So this is an application requesting approval to construct a two-story accessory building at 222 West 38th Street. So y'all may remember this project. It came for y'all in December for the same project. The commission voted to continue the project to allow the applicant time to address staff concerns and to request variance for the footprint to ZBA. The applicant has reduced the footprint of the ADU to meet the standards, so a variance was no longer needed. This project was also scheduled to be heard last month, but was postponed due to the snowstorm. Beyond reducing the footprint of the building, the structure is very similar to what was previously proposed. The applicant has addressed some of the staff's concerns, to include the shutter, which was completely removed, the materials for the soffit, which is now hardy board. Now, he also provided the light specifications as well. One noticeable difference is with these three dormers you see facing the alley. Staff does find these to be visually compatible because you see these type of dormers elsewhere within the district. So we do recommend approval of these. One quick note that you might have noticed in the actual submittal packet is that building section A shows a previous design of this dormer. Staff just requests that that be corrected and then provided before official stamping of the project. So with that, staff recommends approval of this project with the conditions seen on the screen. The board have any questions?
Any questions from board members? Hearing no questions for staff, can we hear from the petitioner?
How you doing? Victor Plusnik, VP2 Design.
Excellent. Thank you for coming today. Would you like to tell us what your plans are and what you're trying to get done?
Essentially, it's just a one-bedroom, one-bath carriage house with a little loft area above for storage. Something very simple, two-car garage. And square footage fits right in right now with the guidelines and just under on the height as well.
Okay, thank you. Board members, are there any questions for the petitioner? Okay. Hearing no questions for the petitioner, is there any member of the public that would like to speak on this matter? Do we have any raised hands? Ellie, you come on. Nope.
I'm speaking four times in a row, and then you don't have to hear from me again. Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC agrees with staff's recommendations. However, we have additional concerns. We question the visual compatibility and appropriateness of dormers located on an ADU and subsequently the roof shape. We also have concerns regarding the lack of consistency in window sizes and shapes.
Thank you. Staff, are there any questions further for the petitioner or the staff? Okay. Hearing none, I would like to go ahead and close this to the public, and we'll have a board discussion. Starting out with Darren, do you have any comments?
So, echoing a little bit of what Historic Savannah has said, my concern with the dormers is the necessity of them being on an ADU because I feel ultimately that it is an opportunity at some point to convert that to living space by adding that area, the extra area of room. So I question the need for them for storage by adding that extra light up there. And, you know, it's an opportunity to go in after the fact and convert the area to an additional bedroom or what have you, which may or may not be legal or even known about. But that's my, you know, the motivation for that seems somewhat questionable.
Pat?
Pat Richardson, I agree with Darren. I honestly don't see the need for the dormers.
Kathy?
Kathy Levine, I've looked into this, and the ADU says it should be designed in a similar architectural style as the principal dwelling. So the principal dwelling to me is neoclassical. You could argue different ways, but you can see that that's full. There's a full height front entry porch with lower full width porches, and you can see that. And he's trying to do that with the cross gable, but the cross gable, the height of it is it goes up to the proposed gable for the roof, whereas on the main house, you can't see this, but if you can pull up the main house, the cross gable roof ridges are much lower than that main gable. And I think that would be a tremendous help in the visual compatibility of the structure right there. If you can look at the drawings, but you'll see that the cross gables again are lower than the main roof. The multiple roof dormers with sidewalls that extend through the cornice, these features are typically found on chateauesque or eclectic houses. It's very rare in style. I don't think they're appropriate. This is not a landmark house. I think you do find gables absolutely on main houses that are neoclassical, but the dormers are pushed back into the roof. They are not in the same plane as the main house. I think that might help with those dormers not being so prominent. Three is overkill. One I think may be appropriate. If you all decide, it's just a very elaborate detail for an ADU, especially since you don't have that design in the main house. But you can see on this elevation that dormers are, see that the roof line is much lower than the main roof line. And that's what I would recommend for both T's, if you would, and in the ADU or carriage house, bring those roof lines down. And then the dormer needs to come, like I said, down and then push it off the plane of the main house.
Pam
Miller. I just don't know. I don't see the dormers as being in keeping with the design of the main house. So I'm a little perplexed as to why that detail.
Staff, what do you think about the dormers?
Staff found them to be visually compatible. While they don't exactly match the main house, you do see examples of dormers like this in roof forms on neighboring properties. So we thought they were fine.
Staff all the way to the plane of the house, or are they pushed back into the roof?
A handful,
that you can come through to the cornice or it could stay in the roof. Do you see them through the cornice on this type of house?
Yeah, so you don't see, once I can remember, you don't see them so much up into the wall. I've always known these as wall dormers. So you don't see so many wall dormers that I can remember, but staff still found it to be okay given that it's facing an alley and not like the front facade.
Staff, any board members, do we have any comments or questions for our staff? Is there any participation from the public? Let's go ahead and close this to public comment. Staff, I think we've already gone through of all our comments. At this point, I'd like to ask for a motion.
Well, I'd like to make another comment. I get 2 more minutes.
Yeah.
I too agree about simplifying the window configuration. I think if the windows were even 1/1, you wouldn't have so much activity in the design. The board and batten siding and the gable fronts, the being vertical versus horizontal, I think that's something you see on a Victorian house versus I'm not sure what I'm categorizing this ADU as. If you simplify it, I think that the overall design would become a much simpler mass and be more visually compatible with the main house, which is it's supposed to complement.
Any other questions or comments from board members?
If you don't mind me just speaking quickly, Chair, given that you all seem to have a number of concerns about the roof line, the dormer windows in general, it would, in my opinion, make sense that you continue this. Let us work with the project architect to address some of your concerns. It seemed to make sense as opposed to adding, it would be a lot too many conditions, I think.
Right. I'm going to reiterate this, having been in houses downtown with even single dormers that are used as bonus rooms and extra bedrooms, having three completely suggests that's the intent of the project, which nobody's going to see after the fact because you just go in and retrofit it. And then you've got an ADU, which is not 640 square feet. You've got an ADU, which is 1,000 square feet.
Can we have the petitioner back up for a minute? Are you amenable to having this continued so that you can work out these issues with staff?
I would prefer this to go with the conditions at this point. The windows, as far as the window designs go, they do match the existing home. And on the roof line, that's something that can be tweaked and a fairly simple item.
Okay. I'm just concerned for you that you might get better results if you were able to talk to staff and come back next month. But we will do whatever you choose.
Well, considering we lost a month because of the snow, I prefer to go with the conditions if possible. If approved, correct.
Thank you. Any more board discussion? I'd like to hear Tomoma's recommendation.
I'm going to go in. We can deny or we can approve with conditions. Well, I think approve with conditions or deny or approve. Okay. I'll continue with my – I'll approve with conditions.
Well, I'm with those dormers. Countering the whole intention, and then we set off a whole precedent of folks starting to build two-story carriage houses with
a dormer.
The dormers.
So not even one dormer. Okay. All right. I'm gonna try this then. He doesn't want to continue. He wants a decision. Okay. I'm going to add now. I'm going to add my lowering the roof ridge as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I agree with that too.
And 1/1 windows?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Kathy Levina. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of VP2 Design LLC, New Construction, Small Parts 1 and 2 for 22 West 38th Street, 24-00682-C0A, with the following conditions. One, confirm that the muttons are no more than that the window configuration is 1/1. So there will not be any divided lights. So 1/1. Provide an updated, okay, excuse me. Let me try this again. Number one, 1/1 window configuration. Number two, the removal of all dormers on the north facade. What facade is it? Help me. The removal of the dormers on the north facade. Thank you. And number three, that the roof ridge on the porch addition is lowered to a secondary roof ridge versus the parallel roof ridge to the main roof.
Subordinate roof ridge?
Correct.
Yeah.
Are there any other? Are we looking at anything else?
This is Pam Miller. I second the motion.
Having a motion and a second, I would like to call for a vote. Let's start with Pam.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren Bagley, Heath, approve.
Jeff Natrika, approve. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, we have the petition of Robertson Lola Roof Architects and Engineers, petition number 24-006744 at 2515 Habersham Street.
Thank you, Chair. Jonathan Mellon. As you noted, the site in question is at 2515 Habersham Street. Here's a map of the site. Those of us that drive down Habersham Street often, I'm sure you've been by. This is a dental office. It is on a lot that is bordered on the east by Habersham, on the west by Lincoln, north by East 41st Lane, and at south by East 42nd Street. Here's a photo of the front elevation. This is a non-contributing building constructed in 1949. The applicant is before you for a series of alterations and two small additions, as well as a request for a special exception, which I will go through. So I'll just zoom out a little bit. So a series of alterations. This is the front elevation again. You can see right here, and this is a non-contributing building, as I've said, from 1949. They're proposing to remove, demo the existing covered front porch and install a new, larger covered front porch with entrance stoop. In addition, the applicant is proposing a series of very minor additions, which you can see here, which will be added at the rear and sides of this non-contributing building. Having some technical problems here, but here we go. So these are the different elevations. Again, this building is a little bit unusual in that it takes up the entire site, the entire lot. And you can see it here. This is the site in question. Here's the building. This is Habersham Street here, the front entrance, which will be altered. The additions that are being proposed, there is a large surface parking lot in the rear that has frontage on three sides. There are no proposed changes as far as staff is aware to the parking lot in question. So with that, there are a lot of conditions. If you all feel that this should be continued, that's a very reasonable. At this time, though, staff is recommending, given that this is a non-contributing building, and the applicant seems very agreeable to working with staff. I think they're a little bit new to this process. So we do have a number of conditions, which I will run through if you bear with me. Adjust the design of the expanded covered front porch to include express piers in order to meet the standards. As you all know, that's a requirement. We've talked about that a lot recently on some of our other projects. Provide information on the proposed material and design details for the new windows. provide information on the proposed material and design details for the new doors, provide information on the proposed material and design details for the expanded covered front porch, provide information on the proposed material for the awnings at the secondary entrance in order to meet the standards, provide information on the proposed lighting, provide information on any proposed alterations to the existing parking lot. We don't believe there are any, but we wanted some clarification on that. And then provide information on the proposed material for the fencing again. So you're going to see a recurring theme here that there just were some details that were not included. Again, this project was delayed because of the storm. So we wanted to bring it to you all to give the applicant a chance to perhaps provide some of that information today to you all. And we are recommending approval of the one special exception from the following standards, from the following standard, I should say, to allow for an increase of the footprint of the building by 1,295 square feet, which when added to the existing footprint of 5,395 square feet, would result in a footprint of 6,692 square feet, where a maximum footprint of 5,500 square feet is allowed. And I just wanted to go into a little bit about that. You probably all can see you have Victory Drive directly to the south. There are a lot of larger buildings in this area and along Habersham Street. Many of the historic buildings were lost along Habersham Street. So you have commercial buildings, restaurants, probably a number of you've been to, and then you have apartment buildings, a number of them along Victory Drive. So in looking at the proposed footprint and also, again, that this is the entire site that takes up the entire block, this relatively minor increase in the footprint we thought was reasonable. So with that, if you don't have questions for me, I will turn it over to the applicant, who may be able to answer a lot of these questions about the details of their proposal.
Jonathan, just to clarify, how big is the lot?
Sorry?
How big is the lot?
I don't know the exact square footage of the lot itself.
But I assume lot coverage is not an issue.
No, it's not. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can we hear from the, are there any questions of board members for the staff?
Catherine Lebron, I just want.
Sure.
Would they be able to subdivide that lot in the future and get rid of the parking lots and use those parking lots as buildable lots?
So that's really more of a zoning question. The parking is used by this facility. So I'm not the zoning expert, but I believe they would have to first consult with development services on, you know, what the parking requirements are for that building. They could not get rid of the parking that is required for the existing building and build a new building that would then eliminate the parking. They would have to go to the zoning board and
unless the use was changed, right?
Hi everybody, this is Melanie. How are you? To answer that question, they cannot, you know, whatever the requirements were for parking based on the zoning that they have and the use, they still have to maintain that. So they can't go in and eliminate all the parking by subdividing it and putting, you know, a more intense use on the property. Hopefully that'll answer your question.
It does. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions for staff? At this time, can we hear from the petitioner?
And do we have anyone online?
Oh, Ed. Peace. This
yeah.
Is me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Thank you for having me. And I really appreciate y'all allowing me to participate online. My wife is away. She's bringing my son home from deployment in the Middle East. Just to answer one question, there is no conversation with respect to changing any of the use, subdividing the property. We intend to leave this as is. I am the applicant. Our company is New Real Estate Advisors. Dr. Fauci, owner of Habersham Dental, hired our company to expand and remodel his building. We agree with all the recommendations. We'll be more than happy to provide all the materials that you would like to see, and we do not have any plans to make any alterations to the parking lot that would cause a loss of space. The plan for this building is to really update it. It really doesn't fit in the scheme of historic Savannah at all. So we plan on painting the brick, which is really not a very attractive wire-cut brick that was popular in the 40s and 50s. We are expanding the building to the rear. This is primarily for a staff lounge. This older building really does not have the space inside to have a place for the staff to have lunch. We'll be adding more modern features in the office. We will have a new and expanded lab. We will be adding a few operatories. We will be changing the roof from a flat shingle to an architectural shingle. I mentioned we're painting the brick. We're adding a mechanical room. We're staying out of the root zone of the tree in the mechanical room. Our typical items that you find in a dental office, you'll have med gas, you'll have vac, air, and a mop basin. And overall, this is really just to bring his building up to modern standards and provide a few more operatories for customers for his growing business in the area.
Thank you. Board members, do we have any questions of the petitioner? Hearing no questions, now we'd like to hear, are there any members of the public that would like to speak on this matter? Ellie?
Second to last one, I promise. Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Our ARC would like to advocate for a continuance on this item. We agree with all eight of staff's conditions and feel that they will impact the visual compatibility of design and should have to come back before you. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions? Let's go ahead and close the public part of this. Board members, do we have any discussion? Start with Darren.
Can I look at the recommendations? Can we put them up again, please? Again, I feel like, so we're staff saying that you all want to have the approval with those bullet points in question. But again, surely we need to see that come before us. After they've done it, it's no, there's too many things on here for staff review to be approved.
Yeah, I would think this feels more like something that needs to be continued and can easily be fleshed out and approved. Is the petitioner still on the line? Hello?
Yes, I'm still here.
Would you be open to a continuance just so that we can get all these items fleshed out? And I think you'll have a much easier time when you come back next month, if that's something you're willing to do.
Sure. So I would assume that if we meet all the conditions that we would get approval on this, and we're more than happy to comply with this.
I think that would probably be best served for everybody. So if you will, let's go ahead and we'll continue this for a month. You can clarify, get all the details that the staff requires, and then you should have a favorable outcome.
Sure.
Guessing.
No, I'll be glad to do that.
Thank you.
I'd like to continue that as well.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we should probably continue it all just for 30 days.
Yep. We agreed. We'll agree to that, and I will be there in person next time. And
excellent.
Thank you.
Would somebody like to make a motion?
Yeah, I make a motion to continue 2515 Havisham Street, COA 24006744, and continue this hearing to 30 days from today, which will be the 26th of March, 2025.
Is that the next meeting?
Yep.
Okay.
Pat Richardson, second.
Pam.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kathy Labina, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Matryka, approve. Motion carries. We'll see you next month. Next agenda item is the petition of Sawyer Design, Jonathan Leonard. Petition number 24006815, 421 West 31st Street.
Thank you, Chair. Jonathan Mellon again. Well, Ariel here. The site in question is a corner lot located at the corner of West 31st Street and MLK. This image does not reflect what is currently there. As I'm sure you all know, there's a large, which you'll see in some of the photos, apartment building that's been constructed. This is kind of the missing tooth, as you will see right here. So I'm going to zoom in a little bit and see when I took these photos. That is snow. So this is the new apartment building that wraps all the way around this lot. It takes up the entire block except for this corner lot, with the main frontage on Montgomery Street. So the applicant is proposing construction here on the corner. And here you go. And the applicant will articulate that this far better than I can. But what's being proposed here are two townhouses that will have access off of 31st Street. Again, the corner house will have also frontage along MLK. And this will give you a better idea of what I'm talking about. So here is this very large apartment building that I was talking about. And then what's being proposed is to fill in this little missing area here with the two townhouses. And then the corner townhouse will have frontage on MLK facing west. This is the proposed front elevation. You can see each of the townhouses proposed to have a first floor garage, an entrance. The house on the east will have a small side yard. And then there will be a yard. This side yard will wrap around to the rear for a small rear yard. The corner house will also have a small rear yard. The proposed construction would include a masonry first floor, followed by hardy board frame construction above with a variety of single and ganged windows. There would be some roof access and a cornice-like element at the top of the building. This is the side elevation facing Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Again, series of gang windows, another entrance. This is the rear yard. There, you probably saw in my staff report. There are also spiral staircases that provide access from the parlor level into the rear yard. So we discussed this a little bit during the pre-meeting. The applicant is in for part one. So we appreciate the applicant providing quite a bit of detail for a part one application. So in terms of our recommendation, staff is recommending approval of new construction large part one for the property at 421 West 31st Street with the following three conditions. To be submitted to you all for review with part two design details within 90 days of this decision, because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. The one thing we discussed during, one of the things we discussed during the pre-meeting, the context here is a little bit challenging from a historic preservation point of view in that there are no contributing buildings. Everything is gone. The buildings directly across, directly across MLK, directly to the south along Montgomery Street. This is an area of the historic district that was severely impacted by changes to the built environment. So in trying to reference, you know, compatible architecture, we had to look a little bit further in terms of the context of the historic district. So I'm just going to walk you through these. Restudy the design of the fenestration at the first floor entrances to strengthen the visual compatibility of the buildings with the contributing buildings in the area. And you may wonder, what is Jonathan talking about? The entrances here appear to show two full double doors that lead into the houses. We walked around the area, the staff. We could not find any examples of this. The proportions seem a little off in our view, so that's what we were recommending. Perhaps if this were, you know, these were duplexes and you were kind of like, you know, you sometimes see with the duplexes, but even then you wouldn't have the doors actually like meeting each other. There, you've probably seen the ones where you have two entrances, but they're actually separated a little bit from each other. So we're recommending that be looked at. We're also recommending that the applicant look at restudying the design to see how the height mask could be broken up through the use of detailing as opposed to a contrast of materials, with a uniform material being used. As noted, what's being proposed here is brick first floor and then frame above it. There are some examples that we found in numerous historic districts in Savannah, but those are normally buildings that were either added onto or that were altered. We didn't feel it was a particularly good model. We couldn't find any historic buildings where that was done. So again, we're looking at, we're recommending that that be looked at as part of the part two. And then some kind of more just basic stuff. Provide additional information on the front and side entrance stoops, including the sizes, depth, to ensure that the standard is met. And the applicant may be able to address that today. I know he's here behind me. And then provide additional information on the walls and gates, including the height, to ensure that the standard is met. Again, a lot of that stuff is anticipated to be addressed in the part two, but the main issues that staff had was to give kind of some helpful direction to the applicant, looking at, again, these entrances, which didn't seem quite right to us, and also the material when the applicant comes back to you for the part two. So in terms of the massing, the scale of this, we did feel it was appropriate. Again, the context here, there is this block-long apartment building that envelops, surrounds this site. And directly to the north, there's a site which will be redeveloped at some point, likely. And there's still a lot of stuff going along along Montgomery Street. So we felt, you know, this was actually a nice attempt to kind of step down a little bit. If you can see here, compared to the larger building, kind of breaks up the massing of the block in a good way. So with that, happy to answer any questions or turn it over to Jonathan, the applicant.
Jonathan, the two big voids on the front of the building, are those garage doors or is that storefront?
Sorry, these are vehicular entrances, yes.
So these are garage doors?
Yes, yes, sorry. There's no, yes.
And
Jonathan can probably explain a little more about that.
And this building is going to orient to MLK or to 31st?
31st.
Okay.
So I can pull up, if you give me a sec here. Let me pull that up for you so you all, sorry, Jeff. Okay, so I'll see here what's being proposed here. So yes, so you can see here's the garage, here's this entrance, and then you would go upstairs and there's actually a studio space, bedroom in the back, and then, you know, more living space up. But yes, they would be towards 31st Street.
Thank you. Staff is, I mean, board members, is there any other questions of staff?
Excuse me.
Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner?
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jonathan Leonard with Sawyer Design. I would like to say thank you, Jonathan, for the great review of the project. And yes, we agree with most of your comments. And we'll have no issues working with you to try to fix them before we come in for part two. I guess to start out with, the main thing is the double door, switching that to a single and making that more appropriate. I don't see any issues with that. I guess my only question, and one of the things I wanted to bring up really to everybody here, is you can see that we have a rather large building next to us. We really tried to work with that context as opposed to the there's really nothing else around us to kind of link the design back together to get our height and mass right, to get our, you know, our window heights and everything else right, which really drove our brick foundation or our brick first floor and then our second story and third story that really tried to align with the building to the left. With MLK to the right, you know, it is a big thoroughfare, you know, two full lanes, you know, to where you're really visually not going to see or compare to what's going on if anything happens to the far side. So, you know, I'm open to suggestions on ways we can work with that elevation. But again, our main goal was really to tie in back to the existing large structure that we have to work with. And if you guys have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you.
Does the board have any questions for the petitioner?
Kathleen Bynum, I've just got a maybe a comment. I would like to see that massing broken up and the materials reconsidered. If you can break up that massing with maybe setbacks or balconies or even a more commercial, you know, facade or fenestration on MLK, looks to me you're ignoring the MLK facade. You're concentrating a lot on the 31st.
Yes.
And I understand that since it is residential and it's oriented, but MLK is a big street. You know, it's a walkable street. It's a main corridor. It's 110 feet on MLK that you want to create an experience for that pedestrian. And I'm not quite convinced that this right here as proposed is pedestrian friendly.
Thank you.
Any other board member comments? Okay, at this time, I would like to see if there's any members of the public that would like to speak about this. Ellie?
Ellie Isaacs, Director of Preservation for Historic Savannah Foundation. Last one that I'm commenting on today. Our ARC would again like to advocate for a continuance on this item. We agree with the four staff's conditions and feel those changes will heavily impact the height and mass of the design. As proposed, it's not visually compatible even to the non-contributing resources that it surround. Our specific areas of concern include the design of the first floor, the relationship of the double doors to the garage doors, awning locations, fenestration types and sizes, and the panel design or the panel detail at the cornice line.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to close public comments and have a board discussion. Let's start with Darren.
I have no comment.
Pat.
Can I see the Google map that shows what it looks like now? What the area that we're talking about?
I may have to adjust this, Pat. Get bear with me because I think it's only when you get over here that you actually see the new construction. There you go. So this is the large new building that fronts Montgomery. And there are these two other, well, I guess it's one development, but large apartment buildings here. There are contributing buildings as you get further down, but to the south is a site that I suspect will be redeveloped at some time. These buildings are all gone. That large apartment building is there. And so the site in question that we're talking about is, there you go, here's a good one. So it's this lot, this is the new building behind it. This is the site, which will likely have some changes. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. So they probably couldn't buy this corner lot to finish off the development. I don't know the background of why this little spot was not included in the larger development, but none of my business.
Kathy?
No additional comments.
Yeah.
No comment at the time.
Well, at this time, I'd like to see if there's any motion on the table.
Can I make a comment again?
Yeah, of course.
What I'm noticing is that these large buildings are going up and they're ignoring the historical significance of the MLK side. You know, everybody's focusing on either Montgomery or the numbered street sides, but they're ignoring the historical significance of the MLK side. So I really would like to see more emphasis put on the historical value and the historical significance of MLK and put some of those characteristics back there on that side.
Jonathan, can you show the elevation of where this would face on the MLK?
Yep, of course.
With that being said, are you looking at continuation and to fill in the
This is the MLK. It's proposed.
Okay.
This is the MLK frontage?
Yes.
Yes.
Other enough on the windows. Don't seem to be enough windows on that side either for that frontage.
Right.
Isn't there a code for that? Can we have an expectation that?
Yeah. So again, the applicant is here for part one. So there's, even though, and we appreciate it as we discussed during pre-meeting, a lot of detail was shown. But I don't want you to focus so much on all the things like that because you're going to get another bite or at the apple in terms of the actual, how this is going to really look. What we're looking at, what we're trying to determine today is whether you feel this height and general massing is compatible.
Thank you. Any other questions from board members? Can I get a recommendation?
Based on all the comments, I would think that we would need to continue
the
petition.
What we're looking at here is looking at size and mass, right? Which I'm looking at this and does it fit in context with what is already there? And to be honest, you know, you can't put anything smaller there because it will look ridiculous.
I'm not thinking about smaller. I'm thinking about breaking up the mass with setbacks or balconies or some sort of.
But is that coming through in part two?
That'll come through part two.
Exactly.
It?
So we're looking at, as far as any aesthetic.
I'm asking, is it your.
You have the authority to make any, I mean, not any, but you can say we want the applicant. We don't feel this proposed massing is compatible, Kathy, if that's your opinion. Or Darren, if you feel it is,
I don't think that the details are compatible. And I don't feel like they could use some setbacks and to break up that box. How about that? To break up the box that you're going to see on the corner of MLK and 30.
Right. If Kathy, if you don't feel that the height and basically the form of this building is compatible, then you should not vote to support it at this point in the part one.
This is Pam Miller. At this point, I don't see where the height or the mass is out of context with what else is already there and around there. That's just my opinion. I mean, the other things, the other details, that's part two. So this is my opinion at this point.
I would tend to agree with Pam. I don't have any issue with the height and the mass. I would like to see probably a little bit better address for MLK.
I'm concerned. This is Pat. I'm concerned with if we vote on the height and the mass now, how do you address the other issues later? So like Kathy's talking about setbacks. and she's talked some, I've heard the comment, breaking it up. How can you do these things if you've already voted on the height and the mass?
Right. So I was trying to clarify, thank you, Pat, that if you have concerns about the height and the mass, that's what we're here for today. If you're talking about the doors and, you know, fenestration patterns and brick and details and all that, that'll be part two. But what we're trying to get, what we're trying to give the applicant today is basically their building envelope. Okay, you can build kind of within this box. And then when you come back at part two, you provide all, you get into the nitty gritty and we can talk about stoops and doors and, you know, balconies can be added. A balcony is a projecting balcony. But I think what Kathy was getting at is actually setbacks within the planes.
Setback within, right, the box. Yeah.
Right, that's
setback
what I'm saying.
Proportion to divide the mass.
Like having bays or, yes.
But is that part one or is that
that's
part two?
That's part one. That's right. We're talking about the height and mass. So if you are comfortable with the height and mass today, you can vote to approve this. If you are not, you can vote not to approve it. That's within your...
But setback is not part of mass.
No.
So we're looking at how tall it is. It's not going to get any taller, and it's not going to have any more square footage than being proposed right now, correct?
That's what you're, like I said, you're trying to give the applicant their building envelope.
Right. That's just what I'm
So if you are comfortable with this height and this being kind of a box, and then the applicant coming back in part two to discuss all those other details, if you are not.
So Kathy Levine is not, because she would like to see some sort of variation in that mass, especially along MLK, the MLK corridor, because that's, you know, that's a significant portion. I don't know what's the measurement. That's not, the whole lot is 110. What's the measurement of just the building?
I would have gone about 4 lengths if you down to there.
Yeah, sure.
Dimensions on there.
Let's see here.
Zoom in there. You can see what the depth is there.
It's right there. I can't blow it up right there.
Yep.
Let you go in.
There we go. Go almost down a little bit. Yeah. It's never where you want it to be.
There it is.
48 feet.
48 feet. I would say if your concern, Pat or and Kathy and Pam, is about, you know, windows and, you know, how it addresses the street in terms of entrances and all that, then that could be part two. But if your concern is that there should be this elevation should have a recessed section, you know, by 6 feet, we should talk about that today.
That's my concern. Pat Richardson, that's my concern. My concern is we give him a box. We tell him exactly how large he can build within this box. But then later he comes back to us and according to the plans that he have, we have decided that no, you need to back that up a little bit, a few feet. Well, we've already told him the maximum amount he can build on. So we've kind of like boxed ourselves out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
Right. So.
That's part of the way the process is intended,
right,
in that you do a part one, where you're kind of giving somebody a building envelope, and then they come in for part two. As I said, you'll see with that Forsyth Park project where you'll be doing the exact same thing. You'll be saying, is that massing and setbacks appropriate? And then they would be coming in later at a part two to talk to you about the stone detailing and storefronts, etc.
So this elevation on MLK, is that right on the property line?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is normal for a lot of that stuff on MLK.
Right.
It runs up to the property line, especially
Correct.
Being as partly a commercial zone.
Correct.
So that is actually somewhat in keeping. If you if you withdrew it 4 or 5 feet from the property line, it would actually stick out more so because then it would be like, oh, this is
correct.
I'm not asking for that.
I'm looking at like the entrance. So the entrance is the middle.
But that would be later on.
Can you set that entrance back so it looks, you're not walking down MLK with a, you know, it's a huge
entrance is still the same.
Within the envelope.
Yeah. Part two, you can deal with those kind of things. Yes. I just meant, Kathy, if you were talking about you know, you want this entire, you know, setback 15 feet, that's something that is a part one idea. But in terms of entrances, storefronts, all those details.
No, I'm not concerned about a 6 foot or 5 foot setback. I'm breaking it up with a door entrance.
Yes, so that can be part two. Yes, definitely. And I know the applicant will work with us and you all.
That area where he's building at, everything comes straight up to the property line.
Yes, I believe so, right here.
It does.
Yes, right here, which again, we looked at, you know, historically, as Darren was saying, you want to build to the property line.
You walk out of the business and onto the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, good. So how do you feel about size of mass? I'm ready to make a motion.
Make it. You ready?
Dial it up. Let's go. Okay, this is Darren Bagley-Heath. I am going to make a motion regarding, scroll down, Jonathan. I can see. There we go. 421 West 31st Street. The petition by Solar Design, Jonathan Leonard, new construction, large part one, 24006815 COA, that the commission approves the new construction, large part one request for the property located at 421 West 31st Street with the following conditions to be submitted to the commission for review. Part two design details within 90 days of this decision, because the project is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. So we need to restudy the design. One, restudy the design of the fenestration of the first floor entrances to strengthen the visual compatibility of the buildings with the contributing buildings in the area. Two, restudy the design to see how the height and mass could be broken up through the use of detailing as opposed to contrast in materials with a uniform material being used. Three, provide additional information on the front and side entrance stoops, including the sizes, depth to ensure that the standards are met. And four, provide additional information on the walls, gates, including the height to ensure that the standard is met.
This is Pam Miller. I second that motion.
I'd like to call for a vote. Pam Miller.
This is Pam Miller. I approve.
Kathy LeBine, I approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren.
Darren Bagley-Heath approved.
Jeff Nutrieg also approved. Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, we got the petition of Maxwell Erickson, 20-000374, 222 West 36th Street, addition and alterations.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Jonathan Mellon again. So this is a very straightforward one that we thought about putting on consent, but we thought be good to just show it to you. This is a corner property at 36th and Jefferson. You can see right here. You can see I took a lot of photos during the storm. It's a good day to be out walking. Lovely contributing building. No changes are being proposed to the front or the side elevation except at the rear. So here is the proposed side elevation, the west elevation. Existing house, existing garage, fencing. So what's being proposed here is just a very small kitchen addition, bump out. On the rear elevation, excuse me, some of it will be obscured through the perimeter fence. This is the east elevation, so it actually faces into the yard. It's not terribly visible, but you can see here what's being proposed, a small addition on the back. And some minor alterations to the porch. And then this is probably the clearest view here of what's being proposed. Some minor alterations to the side porch at the rear, and then this very modestly scaled rear story one addition. We would commend the applicant for the quality of the submission and also all the attention to the details to make this a really visually compatible. This is, I think we're going to use it as an example for people when we talk about additions. This is a great way to add to a contributing building with something that is visually compatible, meets the Secretary of the Interior standards, and would have been historically how somebody would have added on to a property like this. So with that, we're recommending approval as requested. for the proposed one-story addition and alterations on the rear north and side east elevation and related relocation and screening of mechanical equipment for the building located at 222 West 36th Street as requested, because the work is visually compatible and meets the standards. And I believe the applicant is right behind me and can answer any questions that you have.
Board members, do we have any questions for staff? Okay, hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner?
You had to turn on the microphone.
Sorry. Oh, sorry. Okay. Thank you for the introduction. I'm Maxwell Erickson. I'm the son of the building owner and also the architect here. I'm happy to take any. I don't really have anything to add to what he just said, so I'm happy to take your questions.
Board members, any questions for the petitioner? Hearing none. Do we have anybody from the public that wants to comment? Any hand raised?
No, sir.
Okay. Hearing nothing from the public, we're going to go ahead and close this to a board discussion. Let's go ahead and start with Darren. Darren, do you have any comments?
Well, my only comment is that I agree with staff's recommendations. I commend your architectural drawings. It's very sympathetic, appropriate. I'm 100% behind your application. I think it's great.
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathleen Barna, I agree with staff.
Pam Miller, nicely done, and I agree with staff recommendations.
Excellent. Can we have a motion?
This is Darren Bagley-Heath. I motion that the application by Maxwell Erickson for addition and alterations to 222 West 36th Street, COA number 25000374, be approved as recommended by staff.
Pat Richardson, second.
Captain Levine, approve.
Oops, sorry. Jumped.
All right, let's start with a Pam.
Approve.
Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren Bagley-Heath, approve.
Jeff Ventrica, also approve. Motion carries.
Thank you very much.
And for our last agenda item, we have the petition of Jerome Elder Studio, Eric Meckley. Petition number 25000503, 2613 Montgomery Street, Amendment 2, 22003186.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Commission. This is Caitlin Chamberlain presenting the project. The applicant is requesting an amendment to the large new construction project at 2613 Montgomery Street. Just for a little bit of context, this is a vacant lot. There was a variety of temporary metal buildings on the lot that were demolished and received after the fact approval with an earlier COA in 2022. So at the October 26th meeting of that year, the commission approved that demolition of the non-contributing buildings in part one, height and mass. Part two was approved at the February 22nd, 2023 HPC meeting. So just kind of go through the changes. There's a building A and a building B. So for building A, the plan is to change the exterior brick on the bottom from a gray to a white, which obviously we're not looking at the color, but we are seeing that the material is still compatible and meets the standards. There's originally proposed a cast stone banding, which will be replaced with a brick profile to match the first floor selection brick. Windows and doors on the east elevation of Montgomery Street will be adjusted for interior layout, the readjustment of the downspout locations, north elevation, metal wall panels will be replaced with cementitious wall panels. That's right here. And then the north elevation previously proposed storefront to be replaced with inset brick to accommodate interior utilities. You can see where the changes are proposed there. And then for building B, again, the downspout location adjustments and then the ground level units. on the south elevation, we'll have stoop at entries to accommodate grade levels. So you can see that's going to be just this little part right here. On the west elevation wall, there were some window locations that and quantities have been adjusted to accommodate the interior layout. And the west elevation extents of the wall were adjusted. The porches have been removed to accommodate an interior layout. And I do have some side-by-side of the original and proposed for a few of these as we went through the report. So, trying to get back to that page. All right. So for the window locations that have been changed on the west elevation of Building B to accommodate the interior layout, the image on the left shows the previously approved version. Image on the right shows the proposed changes. Staff finds the ratio is still balanced and visually compatible. For window and storefront configurations that have also been changed in the central part of the east elevation of Building A, staff finds this to be a minor revision that still meets the standard. And then for the stoops under the projection standard, this also meets the standard. The only issue that staff found was a minor detail. So this is going to be, back to the proposed material change of the, there was some metal wall paneling that was discussed to be changed to fiber cement paneling, but unfortunately that is not on the list of approved. In fact, it's noted as a prohibited material. So the only condition staff has is to select a material that is on the approved list. So with that, staff recommends to approve the amended changes to the previously approved new construction parts 1 and 2 with the following condition to be reviewed and approved by staff prior to starting the work because the amendment is otherwise visually compatible and meets the standards. 1, select an approved material for the wall paneling. Thank you.
Question for staff. Is metal approved for wall paneling?
It actually is not. We believe maybe at the time, maybe the ordinance might have changed. This was before my time. But we think because it was approved in the past. I noted in the earlier staff report, it said it was not a prohibited material, and the ordinance says for anything that's listed or not listed as permitted but not as prohibited, the board can make a decision. So it sounds like that's what happened with that metal paneling.
Okay, so is that still an option or no longer?
I don't believe it is, and I think the applicant had a reason for wanting to change it. Okay. Which they can get more into.
Sure. And what are, just one final question, what are the approved materials?
So approved materials would include on exterior walls of new construction, it's brick, stone, wood, true stucco, and wood or fiber cement siding. But yeah, for some reason, the fiber cement paneling is on the prohibited list. So
that's odd.
Yeah.
Thank you. Can we hear from the, any
I got a question for that. Yep. Can you go back to the approved fenestration pattern, the 3 versus the 2, the image that you had?
Was it this one?
Yep. And that's the rear of the building?
This is the west elevation, so let's see which. There's a lot of faces a few different. Trying to figure out where it is on the original plans here. Sorry. It's not street facing.
No.
It's not street facing.
So the rear of the building or what have you. It's not on Main Street. Okay.
Any other questions for staff? Hearing none, can we hear from the petitioner, please?
Hello, everybody. This is Eric Meckley with J. Elder Studio, and I got Jerome Elder with me as well. Just want to thank everyone for hearing our petition today. Thank staff for giving a pretty good synopsis. We didn't really intend on making any of these changes. Just this was permitted 2 years ago during the course of finalizing the design and getting ready for construction. There are just a couple things, like with the windows. We had some interior elements that moved, so we just had to make some small adjustments here and there. And had some structural concerns with the cast stone banding, hence the switching to the brick profile that we're proposing. And we fully agree with staff's comments. We thought the cementitious panel was probably the most similar material to the metal siding, but we're happy to change with one of the approved materials. We'll probably end up going with a cementitious siding product. But I don't feel like I have too much else to add to the siding or to the staff review.
Could you show them where
yes.
the site plan and where the
let me see if we have yes. Yeah, I mean do we have the original? Yeah. Thank you. Scroll down here. So that wall with the windows changed position is this one I'm mousing over here. So we will have a fence here as well, and there is some landscape that starts to obscure that facade anyways. There you go. Yeah, this one here.
And where are the balconies that you're enclosing?
The balconies are actually being removed due to some interior changes to the design.
They're being removed and added as an interior element versus an exterior element?
Let me go to our plan. It might be a little easier to depict. There's just no balcony. So essentially, this stair is moving to the edge.
So there's not a recess.
Correct.
Any questions from board members? At this point, is there any member of the public that would like to speak?
No, sir.
Having no one from the public, I'd like to close the public proceedings board discussion. Darren?
I have no comment.
Pat?
Pat Richardson, no comment.
Kathy?
Kathy Levine, no comment.
Pam?
Pam Miller, no comment.
Hearing no comments, can I have a recommendation? Or
this is Pam Miller. I move that the Historic Preservation Commission approve the petition of J. Elder Studio, Eric Meckley, 25000503 COA 2613 Montgomery Street. Submitted because the petition is in compliance with the visual compatibility criteria and standards as set forth in the City of Savannah's zoning ordinance. Approve their amended changes to the previously approved new constructions, part one and two, with the following condition to be reviewed and approved by staff prior to starting the work, because the amendment is otherwise visually compatible. Number one is to select an approved material for the wall paneling. Sorry about that. That's it.
Pat Richardson, second.
Pam.
Pam Miller, approve.
Kathy Levine, approve.
Pat Richardson, approve.
Darren Bagley, approve.
Jeff Ventrica, approve. Motion carries. This brings us up to approved staff reviews. We don't have any notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments.
We've got the stamp drawing report from January, the report of COA. Jonathan, do you have anything on these items?
Nothing to report out of the ordinary.
Very good. With no other business, I think it's time for us to adjourn. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Good job. Good job.